Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Big weekend for Florida. Getting that win over FSU. Taking about a week to get the next head coach at Florida, which of course is Billy Napier. A week after firing Dan Mullen. And Billy Napier's on his way from Louisiana to Florida. Much of Gator Nation rejoicing out there. Rightfully so. Change of direction in many ways for the Florida program. Needed. But yeah, we can discuss, of course, the hire. We can discuss, look back at Florida State. But of course, I know this is going to be dominated mostly by the hire of Billy Napier. Let me go ahead and start it. Nupte in here. Nupte, you should be able to speak now if you're ready. There we are.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, man.
So I'm excited about the hire. I'm definitely excited about the staff he's putting together because it looks like some top names that we were going after anyways, like Belk, is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to see the OC hire and if he decides to play calls. I mean, if he decides to call plays.
Yeah. There's definitely something interesting going there. So.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting because you had a bigger level. So we need more of the CEO part of you. So it's interesting to see if he decides to call plays in that situation. I am interested to see the staff he puts together. As far as the positions, if anybody stays over, the only person I would need to could stay over is Brewster, maybe. Nobody else can't see anybody else staying over at all.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned this in the podcast yesterday. As far as that go, Brewster's name has certainly been brought up to stay. Maybe McGriff and C. Rob's name is there as well. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. Not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying those are the three staff members I would probably look at. If any of them are going to hold over, any of them going to be retained from the last staff, those would be the only three I think that are candidates to hold over and stay with Napier.
Yeah. The Florida State game, this staff shows mismanagement at every level still. Like the fact we had to wait so long for AR to get in the game, the fact that Lance kept getting penalties and stayed out there, like, it's ridiculous that we still this staff clearly shows it's not just Mullen. The whole staff continues to do the same thing repetitively. And I really can't wait till they're gone.
Yeah, I was talking about that this morning with my wife, and I was like, I was going back and looking at the game a little bit, and I was just going and saying it was so weird that I guess you would call it a short leash that Emery had, you know, starting the second half, but if all it took was him throwing it into the back of an FSU player for him to come out and get replaced by AR, like, why is he in there in the first place to start the second half? I mean, if that's really all it took. I don't get that line of thinking. That lets me know right there you already know a move should have been made, and for whatever reason you wait a couple more plays before you make the move. So I don't get that move a whole lot, but luckily it was made. Florida goes to score, you know, 3 out of 4 possessions there, and pretty much those three drives are the difference in the game, and for Florida wins. But I didn't get that line of thinking. But going back to your point, Noop, yeah, it's your penalties were still a big factor in the game, undisciplined penalties, the turnovers as well, you know, Emery and the 3 interceptions in the first half. Yeah, a lot of things you still scratch your head about, but things we also were used to by the 12th game in the season.
Right. So at this point, please, I would think they got to think like, okay, AR starts the bowl game. Please, Lord, for the sake.
Okay, I would like to think so, man, but I have no idea. Like you said, there's no telling with the staff now. But, you know, Greg Knott wants to keep his perfect interim record going. That needs to be the route he goes.
Definitely, because this Emory thing is going to drive the fan base crazy.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Hopefully, they are starting the bowl game. And, you know, we'll see who Florida's playing and, you know, who for Florida is playing as far as that goes as well. And, look, we already know this staff's approach on bowl games. Maybe it's a little different without Mullen, but, you know, last year's going to rub some people the wrong way, the Oklahoma game, of course, going back to that one. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But get to watch your team one more time. You know, it won't be probably be the week of Christmas. I don't think, you know, with the dates that they're getting thrown out for the Gasparilla Bowl or a bowl like that. You know, it's going to be one of those early bowl games.
Yeah, that's the only good thing about this is getting to see the team one more time, because Saturday could have been the last time for real. Like,
yeah, I mean, hopefully we get to see a passion that we saw from a defensive front and a passion we saw from Damian Pierce out there. I'd love to see that type of team one more time. Now, hopefully we don't get the South Carolina, Missouri style team. And that's a little bit of what we saw Saturday. They just came out with the victory anyway. But you still saw a lot of the fight, the passion, and, you know, the Damian Pierce and his approach. You know, I want to see that one more time. That's what I want to see.
Definitely. Has anybody heard any rumors about the OC? Like, any possible?
Since you said rumor, the rumor that is out there, and I'm going to, if I can't say rumor enough, everybody, so don't sit here and say I'm saying this and who's coming. Tom Herman's the name that's being thrown out there for an OC rumor. Let me say that one more time, rumor. And, you know, we'll see where that goes. But, you know, going to your point, Noop, about the OC and Napier calling plays or not, it lets me know if he's going to hire an OC and let that guy call plays. That lets me know he really trusts that hire, because if he calls plays now, and that's just the way he's done it as a head coach and calling his own plays, that means if he's bringing somebody in here to hand that over to, you can best bet that he really, really trusts that hire. He's not going to just hire anybody to go run his first offense at Florida. If he's not going to be the one to do it, you can best bet it's going to be somebody he really trusts.
Exactly. And that like, if you make a major hire like Tom Herman, you got to be like, yeah, I'm letting you call the plays. You ain't going to Michael – with that big of a name, like, I can't see that.
Yeah, but as far as other names out there, I haven't really seen or heard much. That's just that is the rumor out there that I've heard with Herman. So I've heard Herman's name also involved with. Now, I don't know if you could trust the LSU side of this. They still might think they're in it for Dave Aranda and Herman being the OC there. Under that circumstance as well. So Herman's name's getting thrown out a lot right now. So I think that's, you know, part of the whole rumor thing, but probably something to look out for there as well.
Yeah. When I seen the defensive coordinator suggestions or rumors, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. That's decent.
Nice. I feel you on that one. That wouldn't mind, you know, we profiled Doug Belk a couple weeks ago when Todd Grantham was fired. So I wouldn't, still wouldn't mind going that route.
Yeah, like I seen the staff that he was on with Bama, like Bo Davis, Taj Boy. I'm gonna bring him home. That works.
I think this staff's gonna be full of some recruiters, man. So yeah, well, of course they got to be able to coach as well. But I think you can get both. Both exist. Both are out there.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Go Gators, bro.
All right, dude. Go Gators, man. All right.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
What's up, CT? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm on cloud nine, bro.
Here we go.
I'm on cloud nine. This is awesome. I want Gator fans out there to know that may not follow it like some of us do. The fact is, this is a signal to Gator Nation from the administration that things are about to vastly change.
It was needed, man. That was my number one thing. It was needed. Yep.
Absolutely. And you and I, we've been talking about Napier for a while now. I knew that Florida was coming after him. I had heard we had reached out after the Georgia game. Some were saying South Carolina. Who cares? He's the coach. So I am very excited about this because of multiple reasons, and one of which is just the fact that his recruiting prowess is right up there with the best of them. He is an absolute tenacious recruiter. But I love the fact that the players are on board. You know, the players, a lot of the players, you know, Lorenzo Lingard, I don't know if anybody's gotten to see his tweets, but man, he was hyped about this hire.
CT, before you go further there, I can, somebody I know on the Louisiana side of things said, Mamu Diabate was Texans and Louisiana players. He knows as early as last Monday.
Yeah,
asking about Napier and reaching out and kind of seeing, you know, what they would be getting in him. So, of course, that was the name going around Gainesville as well.
Oh, yeah. I got to give Scott Strickland a ton of credit. I've been a critic of his. I've been a critic of this administration, and rightfully so. But I got to give credit where credit's due here. We could be in LSU spot right now. Thank God we're not. So,
You know, we mentioned that yesterday, and I want to get some other people's thoughts here, CT, yours as well. Yesterday, you know, Will and I mentioned, in a way, this is a power move for Florida. And I got some pushback on that, saying, well, how is it a power move when, you know, LSU didn't want him and, you know, USC went and got Riley? And I was like, you got to look at it different. This is Scott Strickland going and getting his guy and not allowing anybody else to go get him. I mean, this was there. I want my guy. I had a meeting. This is my guy after one meeting. I want to get him. You didn't give a chance for anybody else to jump in. You went and got him before anybody else could even jump in and get in and maybe ruin this thing. You went and got him. So that granted, power move, you can probably define that in many ways. You know, this isn't going to Scott Strickland going and getting Lincoln Riley. No, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
But in different ways, you went and got the guy you wanted before anybody else could even jump in and ruin it for you.
It's about fit. I mean, it's really about fit, too. I mean, he's got a lot of Southeast ties, a lot of, you know, especially in Florida. I mean, we saw the late Gibson coach, you know, I saw the tweets there. I mean, that's huge. I mean, they got 2 5-star players, one this year and next year. And that's just the beginning.
And that's something else that needs to be fixed. You know, not just high school recruiting, but relationships with high school coaches in the state of Florida.
Well, I think also Florida made, going back to your point about, you know, getting his guy, Florida made it clear to Napier he was the guy they wanted. And I think that held a lot of water at the end of the day. Because I just think that LSU – a lot of people, you know, I know our guy from Raging Cajun podcast there, but he has said from day one that Napier was never going to LSU. And I'm excited. I'm just thankful that we got our guy. We're moving forward. Some of the coaches that we think that he's going to get, that is just a testament to how much, you know, how much better this program is about to get. And I will also add, I believe, my personal opinion, I would not be shocked if Florida finishes from what, 31 right now in recruiting. I would not be shocked if we finish in the top 15 or inside the top 15 for a transition class. And for a transition class, that is, I can't even stress to you how really impressive that is if he can pull that off.
Yeah, you know, he even said, and I think we've heard the Evers family did say that, you know, contact's already going to be there from him. And I think he's going to visit them Tuesday, I believe.
Tuesday.
Yeah, is what I saw. And I reached out to Monica last night, Nick's mom, because, you know, I had them on the podcast in the summertime. And she is, you know, I asked what I could share for what they know. She goes, there's definitely been a lot to process this past holiday for everyone, right? We can add Strickland's careful resolve in partnering with such a great prospect as Napier to our list of things to be thankful for this season. Our gauge is always Nick's temperament, and he has been all smiles. There is a lot that is right with UF, a testament to the players and the staff. Napier will build upon it, and it's going to be fun to be in the mix. Recruits are excited, too. These next couple of weeks will be interesting. So yeah. That is from Nick Evers' mom, Monica, there. You know, because I wanted to get a parent's perspective again of everything that's going on here. Because, you know, changes is not going to be easy. And it did look like they were sold the whole entire time on Florida.
Yeah.
It was more than just about Dan Mullen and Dan Mullen's quarterback development and all that. You know, we joke sometimes about, you know, kids and parents, you know, about the whole top five academic thing. And, you know, that is going to be a difference for a few prospects. I still think it's mostly about football for most of them out there. But for somebody like Evers, you know, the University of Florida itself made a big difference here. And that's why we were so frustrated. You know, there is a lot to sell for Florida. And that's why we were so frustrated with the last couple staffs, because they made it harder than it really needed to be.
Yeah. You know, my buddy NWF, he's on this, he's listening to this right now. You know, it's like he has said, Florida's not a hard job.
It's not.
It's not. If you recruit and you go out there and give effort, it can be done. And it, man, I'm just excited. But I'm going to let you guys go. I'm going to let everybody get back in. You know, people get on here. But go Gators. Great days are ahead. Can't wait.
Sounds good. Thanks, ET.
Yeah, man.
Oh, let me bring Top Dog Ben here. He's been waiting for a while. Top Dog, you in there?
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. How about you?
All righty. First thing I wanted to say is I'm really excited about the win this Saturday. I know a lot of people saying they're not excited, but I live in the state of Florida. I live down here in Tampa. I have a lot of siblings that are Florida State fans, so I want to congratulate the team on a big win. I know it was an ugly win. We should have blown them people out by 40, but first thing I want to say, I'm excited about that win this Saturday. We needed that.
Yeah, I'll even back up. You know, with the way this season has went, the term ugly win never even entered my mind, honestly. They went and got it. Looking back at it, yeah, it was ugly, but see, you know, it didn't enter my mind. I was just glad to see the team walk out of that stadium with a victory Saturday.
And they, you know what, the big part about it is that Florida State was coming in on a high horse. They was riding, they was on a high horse, and I was in the stadium. It was sold out. We was loud. My voice gone. I'm still trying to get my voice back. So, man, I appreciated that win. That was a good game. I enjoyed it and everything. Now, I know that's kind of off the topic of what you're discussing today. Man, so.
That's 2 days removed from a win over a rival. That is not off topic at all.
Yeah, yeah. Billy Napier, I love it. I love the hire, man. I love that the administration went out and got their guy. I didn't want that was the best guy that we could have went. I didn't want Lincoln Riley because he has made it to the playoff, and he's a great recruiter, but he haven't won any championships. And I don't know if he really can recruit against the Nick Saban guys, and he was the guy that I need. I didn't want Lane Kiffin. I didn't want any of them guys. So I really like the hire. The only thing that is starting to disturb me is that a lot of people are talking about that Florida fans need to be patient. And I truly disagree with that, because us as Florida fans, we are patient. But the difference is that we're not dummies. And when we see a change, or when we see things that need to be changed or upgraded, and the coaches don't do it because we watch the game and we watch the film, you guys on the podcast explain to us a lot of stuff that we don't know. And when the coaches are not making the changes, then it's a discomfort with the Florida fan base. So if he come in here and do what he has to do, even if he's not winning games, I feel like we'll give him a chance. But if he is not putting the best players on the field, doing the recruiting like Dan Mullen, if he is not finding the coaches and keeping his friends, then he'll be okay as a head coach. So I really like it. I just hope that he just can put his ego and his arrogance aside and just be the head coach and make the right proper changes to put the best players in position to win the football game. So that's all I want to say, and go Gators.
Go Gators, man. Yeah, and maybe patience is not the right word. I kind of agree with you. I'll say realistic. You know, be realistic. You know, it's not going to be an instant 1 year Florida's in the SEC championship game next year. Now, if it happens, great. But, you know, we probably shouldn't expect that. But we should start seeing steps being
You're right.
You know, to be, like you're saying, we should see the steps. We should see the process, which is going to be a very popular word and term going out there for the next, you know, year or so, probably, to see in the process of Billy Napier. We, you know, we need to see the process paying off. And that is going to take some time. But, you know, the realistic expectations need to come with that.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Appreciate it, Dave. Love everything you do, man. And go Gators.
Go Gators, man. Carlos.
Dave.
Carlos, you bringing that passion, man?
All day, baby. All day. Dave, I told you, don't worry. I had that feeling. You know when you get that gut feeling that it's all right in the world? Everything's right in the world. The Holy Spirit just speak to you and just give you what you already know, but just confirm it. I told all of you guys that that was the dude that we needed. Scott Strickland ain't stupid. Yeah, we don't like some of the stuff he done, but the man's still smart. All of the nation was hollering about all these other different people. And I'm like, that show you guys, y'all are SEC fans and fans only, not college football fans. Because true college football fans watch other conferences. And it ain't always Power Five that you're watching. Okay? I've been watching Billy since he got the L to Louisiana. Because I'm like, this dude, I see what he's doing over there. I see how he's building up ULL. And I'm like, I can see him at Florida because how he going about stuff. And to those fans who are worried about him hiring the right people, this man lost staff just like Nick Saban lose staff at Alabama. 3 years in a row he got poached. And he still got him in the Sun Belt Conference Championship game. If that ain't enough to tell you that this dude ain't, you know, what I'm saying, willing to go out there and get the right people and bring them in, he has a core principle, Dave, and he don't deviate from it. He learned a lot from Dabo, and he damn well learned a lot from Nick Saban. So everybody just chill. Let that man do what he do and watch. All the fan base is going to catch that lightning in the bottle the same way we did when Urban got there. Go Gators!
Here we go, Carlos. Man, thank you much. Now, there's something there, that whole staff, having to rebuild a staff over and over again there for him and, you know, still winning those 10 games, still winning those double-digit games at Louisiana. Something that, you know, is a big difference from Mullen. And not to say Mullins, some of the staff members couldn't have went on and done some other things while at Mississippi State, but they stayed with him. And he brought a lot of those guys over. And, you know, very little staff change in his time at Florida as well there. But, you know, you do see, and it is a little bit different at Louisiana in the Sun Belt. You know, if you guys are proving themselves, they want to go on to bigger, better things. And that happened. And they still made the changes. And changes didn't necessarily affect win-loss record. And performance, still getting the same type of performance there from the type of players at Louisiana under Billy Napier. All right, let's go. I'm so been in here. See, MJ and sub.
Yep. Loud clear.
Yep.
Good deal. All right. Well, glad we got that one over Florida State. I know that was like the hangover everyone wanted to shake. So glad the team got the win. I'm glad Pierce got his shine too. And Kamora Gamble. Those are two guys I was definitely cheering for a lot of years. So especially with Pierce, I'm excited to see him hopefully play one more time.
Still can't believe it took to the 12th game of the season for him to get double digit carries.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave those pain suffering in the past, so don't try to bring those back up. Anyway. But now I'm stoked about the hire because we got it in before a lot of people, and it seemed like, you know, it took me a minute to get sold on it, just only the sheer fact I didn't know who he was. For those people in like these podcasts and other little bits of information from like Delator and Late Kick and from Josh Pate over there. Is there anything that you can maybe backfill that hasn't been discussed over Napier and like what he's trying to accomplish? I do know like he's obviously an excellent recruiter. People have been sharing those like little stories here and there. He's a CEO type guy. He's done his record. I mean, I don't want to say this feels like a Mac or a Muschamp, like an aim low, hope for the best kind of hire. I don't think that's it, but there are things I just don't know. So what are some other items besides what hasn't been discussed that you think he brings to the table?
You know, that is one thing I am planning on kind of laying out this week on Gators Breakdown. I've reached out to, you know, the Raging Review podcast that jumped on here last week. I'm supposed to record with them later today for an episode, so we'll get their thoughts and, you know, some more of those type of questions and answers there. And then somebody I know really close to Kevin Hagan, who's been on the episode the last couple of times we've previewed Florida Alabama games. He's very close to that Alabama staff, and I talked to him last week when all this stuff was going on. So he's got some really good stuff to share about Saban and Napier and the relationship there. So we'll dive into that even more too. So, you know, look, we're still learning about him as well, like you said. And all I can do is ask around to get more about him. That's really not so much out there already in some of the articles that's been released the last few years and stuff like that, where profiles have been done on him and how serious he takes everything. And, you know, it's going to be a spin on the Alabama model. He's going to do it his way, but, you know, a certain number of recruiting staffers, a certain approach to that and how it needs to be done. And I shared it yesterday on the podcast, his process, his detail, how detailed he is, and you know, just want to be involved in every little thing and enjoys doing it, enjoys doing the planning, enjoys being the football junkie that it takes to win at a big level. You know, you can't, credit for Dan Mullen and no fault of his for wanting to be, you know, family man and spending time with family and all that. I admire that. But there's come certain risk with that when you're at this level of football. And not saying it can't be done. Maybe there's a different way of doing it, but the way he went about doing it wasn't necessarily going to work. Maybe there's some way to do it out there, and I'm not just going to sit here and say, you know, you're not spending any time with family and they're shunning their family and all that kind of stuff. But you know, there is a way of going about doing it, and you know, I think we'll see how Napier does it. We keep hearing as well about him, how a man of faith and a man of integrity and a family man as well. So he's obviously figured out a way to do it. You know, does any of those aspects change when he comes to Florida? But I think we'll get a better feel for the type of guy he is, everything he's built at Louisiana, his time from. And look, I got the question in behind the scenes there from good buddy Liquid Flames, I think. And he asked, you know, and I'm going to get more on that. He asked me today, you know, about the critics of Napier and not being, you know, promoted under Saban a whole lot and Dabo firing him. And look, he admitted the firing at Clemson was a good thing for him. He maybe a little bit of arrogance early in his career because he was rising fast. He was a very, very fast riser in the profession when he was the youngest coordinator out there at the time at Clemson. And he got a harsh dose of reality and he learned from that. And that made him what he is today. And with the whole Saban thing, and I'll get more from Kevin when I have him on this week, we'll dive in more about maybe why he didn't rise so much at Alabama before he left and you know, Arizona State job and all that kind of stuff before getting the head job at Louisiana. But I do know in talking to Kevin, Saban thinks the world of Napier. And so, we'll dive into that deeper this week. Kevin can say it much better than I can give much more detail about that than I can. So look out for that this week. We'll learn a whole lot more about him by who I get on the podcast this week.
Good stuff. All right, Dave. Thank you for all you do.
Thanks, man. Unsub, I think you're in here.
Yeah, I forgot I have requested you guys. You pretty much had already gone over what I was going to talk about pretty much patience with the fan base. But not, you said it you said by yourself, not so much patience, more so being realistic. You know, this year the fan base was torn, you know, myself included, a lot of vitriol within Gator Twitter. And I think this is a good chance for everyone to kind of eat a little bit of humble pie, a little bit of self-reflection, and put the program and Gator Nation first with Napier. And so, yeah, that's all I got to really say is, you know, go Gators. I hope the best for everything. I really wasn't in the camp of being in another head coaching search. I was worried we'd be closer to Nebraska than Alabama. And I, like I said before, I'd happy to be wrong about that. And I'm happy to be feel like I'm wrong about it now with the Napier hire. So best foot moving forward with Gator Nation, and go Gators.
Go Gators. Yeah, hopefully, you know, this is a blank slate for everyone. Like you said, it's been a lot of back and forth for a few months, or a few weeks, mostly a few weeks. But, you know, there's been months out there, too. A lot of people after 2020, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Nobody, no AD out there is going to move on from Dan Mullen and the success he had coming out of 2020, going into 2021. Now, you can sit here and say you see what's coming, and there's a lot of credit for seeing that and maybe the way it played out. But at that time, there's nothing going to happen after the 2020 season there. But a lot of us, you know, said hitched a wagon to Todd Grantham, and we saw how that played out. Move was made, but still a lot of people thought it should not have been made. And there's some changes, some opportunity for Dan Mullen to show he's willing to change there. But it was more about direction here and needing, you know, you're projecting a little bit. And I don't think the projection was all too great. When you look at it, but blank slate for everybody. I hope everybody can get on board. Of course, there's things to look at and not be completely sold on here and what's going to happen. There are some questions. There's some questions with everybody out there. You know, I had questions. Dan Mullen was my number one choice. I had questions about Dan Mullen, and those questions ultimately ended up being and playing out the way I didn't want them to, but here we are. We can start anew. Blank slate for all the fans out there. Hopefully we're all on the same page. Spring game hopefully coming up. That's an open spring game. We're all in the swamp together and getting ready for that Utah game as these off-season months are ahead of us.
Yeah, that's not going to be no slouch. Utah's coming. They're going to come ready to play, especially after this Oregon win. They're building a good thing out there. So hopefully the Gators lock in. And thank you, man, for everything that you do and the community you've built. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun lately doing all this. Been really busy. I think my wife's ready to kill me right now, but it is what it is. She can see, understands. But hopefully, you know, these next couple of weeks we can all exhale a little bit. No time to exhale. We get Napier next Sunday in Gainesville for the press conference. So I'm planning on being there. And, you know, hopefully asking some questions there as Napier will make his appearance in Florida next Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Go Gators.
Go Gators. All right. Let's see.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, man?
What's up, RJ? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Well, it just feels like a breath of fresh air. You know, I'm not sure if you were listening to the Twitter Spaces last night with some of the players, but.
Yeah, for a quick second, like I said, I think my wife was giving me some dead stares after cutting two episodes yesterday, so I had to pick and choose my time a little bit, spend some time with my daughter as well, because after a busy couple of days, but I did hop in for like 10 minutes.
I think the one thing that was the most telling to me and what gives me optimism about the hire is, I can't remember who said it, but you know, they were saying that there were a few recruits in for the Florida State game, and he was asking one of the recruits what his biggest, you know, what's the biggest selling pitch for a program. And he said, you know, making sure that I can help out with my family because my mom just got laid off. So I think what gives Napier an advantage of some of our previous hires is, one, he's obviously going to get the new standalone facility, and then B, a bona fide NIL collective group that we have with the Gator Collective, that from everything I've heard is, you know, seems pretty legit. And I think that is going to be the future of recruiting. And it's nice that we've already sort of got a leg up compared to some other schools. So I think he's definitely got an advantage as far as that goes. So that gives me a lot of optimism on top of everything I've heard about him in terms of how he recruits on the trail. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And then B, I did see yesterday, I'm sorry if you've already hit on this, that on, I think it was on 24/7 Sports, that he's eyeing potentially the Houston defensive coordinator and then possibly the Oklahoma State coordinator. So not sure if you've heard any more about that, but just wanted to get your thoughts on all that. And like I said, it's just nice to have a fresh set of eyes on some of the talent we've already got at Florida. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, and go Gators.
Go Gators. Yeah. Report yesterday from 24/7, we did talk about that a little bit earlier, Oklahoma State DC and then, or assistant coach. And then also, Doug Belt at Houston. So yeah, definitely talked about that. And you know, you can go back a couple weeks ago when we talked about, you know, our defensive coordinator big board. If you want to know more about Doug Belt, that's one of the top one of the targets there, claimed by 24/7 that Billy Napier is going after. And they were at Alabama together. Some spent some time together at Alabama. So there is a recognition there from both sides. So that's working in the right direction there. But you'd love to see in identification early on of who he's going to target, and maybe we hit the ground running here for the recruiting side of it. And yeah, you know, he'll get to sell that new facility. I think, you know, walked by it this past week, heading to the FSU game, walked right by it. You know, that thing's getting built up, huge, huge facility there, and being able to, you know, take advantage of that. But, I always go back with the facilities and stuff like that. It keeps your head above water. Does it helps. You need it to stay in the arms race, but, you know, that's not the ultimate factor in Florida struggling or not struggling in recruiting. It's about just the entire approach. You need things to sell, of course, and that's going to be one of them. But you know, it starts with just how you go about approaching recruiting, how you care about it, how you make high school recruits feel and care about it. And I think that's going to be a bigger factor than facilities. You need it to keep up. That's why everybody has them. It keeps your head above water. And I kind of maybe a lack of a better term, can call it a tiebreaker at times. If everything is even, you're recruiting with Georgia, you're recruiting at Alabama, then maybe that shiny new facility is the tiebreaker. That's why you need them. But you know, your approach is going to get you there in the first place. And I think that's what Florida needs more than anything. And I think that's what we'll get with Napier. Now, ultimately, does it play out? Does it make a big difference? Win loss record? Is, you know, he's still got to be a good coach as well, and we all know that it does take both. But I think we know where it starts, and we'll see where it goes from there. William, I think you're in here.
Hey, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. First of all, I hope you and your family had a great Thanksgiving. So I came on here to want to ask you some questions about recruiting. So last night I was going on Twitter and I stumbled upon two recruits from the state of Florida who decommitted from Oklahoma last night with the change going on in Oklahoma. So, with that coming into play, depending on what happens, you know, I hope when Napier's going to hit the ground running, do you think that Napier can try to make a push on those two guys that decommitted last night, or do you think that might be too early for them?
I don't know in particular for those two guys. I know Ennis was one of them, wide receiver from Heritage. I think he was one. Treyon Webb, of course, is another one, a 2023 running back from right here in Jacksonville at Trinity Christian. I think you definitely keep an eye on him and see. You know, there's a connection to legacy connection there to Florida, of course, as well. So, you know, it was not great to see him leaving Jacksonville and going to Oklahoma in the first place. But he is a 2023 kid, so there's some time there to also make up a difference there when you look at a local – well, not local, but right up the road, Jacksonville prospect here. And you know, that's one thing Florida has to get better at, of course, is that in-state recruiting. And you're looking at definitely he's probably one I would look at just because of being up the road here in Jacksonville and the connection there. I was looking for D-Web, I think, is the legacy connection there. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. That's one I'd definitely be on the lookout for. I don't know the complete story with those guys. I'm definitely just going by, you know, the local Jacksonville Trinity Christian connection there, and you know, seeing where that one goes.
Yeah.
Now, when you break it up a bit, but yeah, thanks for that. You know, and we'll see. You know, Oklahoma's gonna have some transfers as well. We'll see where that goes too.
Okay. You hear me?
Yep, got you now.
Okay, got it working now. I got one more question for you. One of the concerns I have with Napier, which well, I kind of don't, but like, because I love him across the board, but How is his recruiting going to translate from the Sun Belt to the SEC? Because, you know, we got to compete with Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, which, you know, they've been destroying us with the 2022 class. And and Dan Mullen wasn't able to get, like, Walter Nolan and all those guys. And especially what I'm really upset was, well, we couldn't get that kid from Riverside in Jacksonville. I was kind of upset about that. How is he going to translate that in order to compete with Saban, Kirby, and Jimbo?
I mean, I wish I knew. For as far as that goes, I mean, you just got to go by reputation. What we think we know about that. We know he'll have to get in here. We got to see who he hires for staff members. That's going to be the most important part. You know, it just can't be him out there on the trail. And then getting guys on campus and closing the deal. You got to get your staffers out there to lay the groundwork in the process of recruiting, your recruiting analysts, your recruiting staffers as well, identifying the talent that you got to go out there and get. It's mostly, I mean, honestly, we all know what it is. Florida's got to go and lock up the state. I mean, no, not necessarily lock it up, but got to go do much better. You're not going to lock up. There's too many prospects in this state, and they're still going to go to Georgia. They're still going to go to Alabama. You just got to get more of them. You've got to get the you've got to be up there and not just in the conversation and losing out to Georgia and Alabama for these top prospects. You've got to be getting them. It's not good enough to be in the conversation. You have to get those type of players here in the state of Florida. You've got to send them. The most important thing he can do is send the message that you're not going to come in here and take all the top players. That will go for a while. That can sustain the program. We know that. So I think, you know, good to hear also that, you know, going out of state, that he's already seeing some guys this week, starting with quarterback Nick Evers. And, you know, you see the process there of identifying, hey, look, we got this really good quarterback. I'm not going to go completely off script here. I'm going to try and keep that top quarterback in the class. And, you know, it starts there. One of the best recruiters in the class as well there. But overall, big picture, we know what it is. You've got to keep the in-state top guys from going out of state.
All right. Thank you, Dave. God bless everybody. And scared money don't make money. Go Gators, baby.
Thanks, William. All right. There's some more people. Chase, I think you're in here. Then Green Zone, yeah.
What's up, Dave? Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, man.
Hey, good morning to all my Gators. I see your thing is full again, man. Good job. Just had a two-part question real quick. And it's going to geared around recruiting, of course. Just wanted to know, where does he start coming in? Like, who are the important needs gets as far as recruits? And then also, you know, as course as everybody's been seeing, that different coaches are going out to go see players or to bring players back. How important is that from a standpoint of knowing who's going to still be on the staff and them trying to sell kids like, hey, come to the school, when Napier may not even keep that particular coach? How is the recruiting going to be affected from a coach that may not even be there next year and they're still trying to recruit kids and then, you know, trying to bring kids in from a coach that may not have a position? But first part question is, who are the important and immediate needs as far as recruits go to kind of secure the class? And then number two, how is the effect of the coaches who may not still be on the staff that's still recruiting? How would that come back to bite us as far as recruits coming in?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is those recruits, it can get to easier in that Louisiana, Texas area. That's where he's kind of hitting these next couple days, starting tomorrow. Is what it sounds like. A head start with Evers and, you know, seeing some prospects there. I saw a list somewhere of who he's going to be visiting, and I cannot remember where I saw that. I had some names there, and I do not remember where I see it. I do know it goes with Evers, but it starts with those players because, you know, he's still got a game to coach this week. He's still coaching in the Sun Belt, but it's the players that he can go visit pretty easily in Texas, Louisiana. They just have to travel as far. As far as the second part of your question, we're still paying these guys. You know, they got to go do a job to still help Florida right now. You know, they still have a tie to Florida. I mean, I still think they care about the university, and you're getting paid. You still have a paycheck coming your way right now, and you go do your job, go help sell Florida. And of course, these guys probably be looking out for themselves as well a bit. I mean, they're worried about their next job, of course, and where it goes from here. We spoke earlier about it, maybe who can hang around from the current staff. When Billy Napier gets in here, the names there, Brewster, C. Rob, and Wesley McGriff. So if those guys are out there recruiting, they still may be recruiting for the next class when they're going to be here. So I think, you know, those guys, I think they probably have a good inclination of if they're going to be here or not, or they've had a conversation if they're going to be here or not. So I think they go out there and do their job like they're supposed to do right now. And look, it's only going to help them if they're still on the staff. It's just a way to look at it right now. You're still getting paid to do a job, and some of those guys may be on the staff. So I think you go do your job till you find out one way or the other.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate you, buddy. Go Gators.
Thanks, man. Go Gators. Of course, I had it sent my way too, and I've seen it on some boards as well. Tasha Poy's name's being brought up, and also Charlie Partridge's name up there at Pitt. If people have listened to Gators Breakdown for any extended time, know how big of a Charlie Partridge fan I am. I've had some personal conversations with Charlie. I'd love to have him at Florida, love to have him in the state of Florida. I think he's putting his name in the ring, I think, to be on this Florida staff. We'll see where it goes from there. But former coach at FAU, I profiled him as well on the defensive coordinator big board a couple weeks ago. And I'd love to have him back in the state of Florida and recruiting down there in South Florida and taking advantage there. But a couple names also to look out for, Tasha Poy, Charlie Partridge, as far as where this staff can go. All right, Chase, if you're in here, you can.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something regarding recruiting. I mean, I'm not an insider. I'm not anything like that. I grew up in the 850 area. Played there. My dad's coached there for 30 years. He has connections. Niceville, Crestview High School, Navarre. From Pensacola all the way to Panama City. He coached there for 30 years. I will say this, just from what he's telling me as far as he's retired now, but just his inside contacts, this name has brought up a lot of buzz, even with the Thomas kid. Not saying that it's going to land the kid, but I will say that the pulse in recruiting, I think, will be back for the University of Florida. There will be a pulse in these high schools. I just wanted to bring that and let people know that I'm not an insider, but I do have a lot of contacts within that area. And there's a lot of talk going on with this hire.
Yeah, like I said, you know, the late Gibson coach that was already brought up too, you know, he comes out and was glad to see Napier back in the state of Florida. You know, that speaks volumes there. I think a lot of people are getting on board with this. I mean, he's been in the South. He's got a lot of connections there. I think he was very highly thought of in the state of Louisiana as well. Now, of course, he wasn't going head-to-head with LSU for recruits, but he still got, you know, he still owned the same, still going and recruiting the lower players on some of those teams out there as well. But you know, he's got a good reputation coming from the state of Louisiana as well. It'll be interesting to see if he can pull anybody from that state while LSU is kind of going through what they're going through a little bit right now. And maybe you can make some inroads there or use your connections that you have in the state of Louisiana. You know, of course, you don't make it your recruiting base, of course. You don't have to. Being at Florida, but Florida's gotten some prospects from there before. It's really tough to pull some of the top guys out of the state of Louisiana, but it will be interesting to see what connections he can use there from the last few years to see if he can get some guys to come over from the state of Louisiana to Florida, because he's got a pretty good reputation there from a high school level, and some that, you know, would not have mind seeing him get that LSU job. But I think he's got a pretty good reputation there in that state, and we'll see if he can pull some prospects out of that state.
Yeah, I just think that as far as just from what I've heard in the past, it wasn't the case with the Copeland recruitment, but even with other coaches that like have been at Florida, I know McElwain and things like that. Nobody likes to hear that name, but just from what I've heard over the past years, is it's almost like the whole sentiment is like, we want you here, but it's one of those things like they're not literally going out. You don't have to beg the kid. Don't go beg the kid, but don't act like he's not needed, right? Don't sit there and say, well, I can go get somebody else. And that's, to be honest with you, just from people I've talked to, there's been several banquets. Like when I go back to my hometown, I've talked to coaches and they've been like, it's almost like they told the kid, like, we want you, but we're not going to like bend over backwards for you. And that's the truth. That's just, I've talked to people that have literally been the coach or friends of coaches of some of these kids. So,
yeah, I mean, that's recruiting as much as coaches probably don't want to admit it. You know, you gotta kiss up. I mean, you know, that's just the world, the reality of it right now. That's recruiting. And you know, you've got to be able to, you know, probably swallow some pride, not have as much arrogance about it, and you know, do the job to bring players in here. And it's the harsh reality of it. You got to be able to do it. You got to want to do it. And that's hopefully what Florida's getting here.
Yep. That's all I had, Dave. Thanks for the time, and always good stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for the insight, Chase. All right. We got a few more. North Florida, I think you're in here.
Good morning, Dave. This may have been addressed already. This may have been addressed already, but I heard you talking about Knowles and Belk as possible DC. Is there any real smoke to Tom Herman as OC?
I don't have any idea. I've had people ask me about that. I've seen the rumor as well. I saw the rumor before, and then I had somebody I trust come and ask me about it. So I know that person who's asking me about it, if he's hearing about it too, more, and he he heard about it more so more than rumor. He heard about it from connections, and not just throwing it out there. So there's probably some smoke to it. Like I said, I think we'll. I don't know how long we'll have to wait. Probably need to wait and see what LSU does as well. I mean, I'm not saying Tom Herman's looking at Florida and or LSU here, but if the rumor is true, he still may hold out and see who LSU hires, and then you get some type of bidding war there for Tom Herman. And we still don't even know, honestly, if what Napier's going to do as far as if he's going to call plays or not call plays. So I think that comes into the equation as well. But I do think it'd be an awesome hire as far as recruiting goes, big time experience, head coaching experience at Ohio State. So he's not getting Tom Herman wouldn't be surprised by any of the expectations or any of the pressure that comes with a big job there. So I do think there's probably some validity to it, from all the rumors out there and from being asked about it from someone I really trust. So I think that's definitely a name to be on the lookout for on the offensive side. All right, who else is in here? Dallas, I think you're in here.
Yeah, for our first staff.
Oh, okay.
Any of those deep?
No, Floyd, I'm sorry, man. Your connection's breaking up a bit.
Sorry about that.
Oh, good. I think I hear you good now. Dallas.
No, I was just going to say that would be an amazing first staff if any of those DCs you talked about and Herman would be incredible first staff.
Oh yeah, that'd send some shockwaves through the SEC and through the country of how serious. Because look, that's not going to be cheap either. These names we're hearing, I talk about a top down approach. And look, Florida even under Mullen was not afraid to spend money for staffers. So we can. There is something to go by already that Florida's not going to be afraid to pay their staff. So I think with that reputation already out there, I do think you can probably some of these big names you're hearing don't shove them away. Don't ignore them because there's a reputation out there that Florida's going to pay their assistants. And as I said, top down approach that needs to be part of the approach, and I think we'll see where it goes from there. But I do think that would send some shockwaves. You get some of those big names that we're hearing out there.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, man. Dallas, you in here now?
Yeah, I'm in here, Dave.
All right.
Just quick question for you. Just general, what do you think are like the realistic expectations for the bump class of 23? We got a lot of in-state talent coming in. Do you think a top 10, maybe a top 5? Like, what do you think your expectations should be, I guess, for Gator Nation as well? What do you think?
Each class should start at a, besides this transition class, should start at a top 10 expectation level. You're Florida. That is the expectation. Now, usually you see an immediate – for coaches that are good recruiters, you see that bump class – an immediate announcement of how serious that coach is about recruiting. Usually you see that all across the country in that bump class. That's why it's so important there. I hate to compare, but Myers bump class with Tebow and Harbin, that's when you kind of knew. And I think that's kind of when we'll know Napier as well. Not saying you go get that type of class, but I think for us to be, I think, looking at it as in, okay, this is exactly what we got this guy for, you're probably looking at a top five-ish, top seven type of class. At least because, don't get me wrong, I don't expect him to come in here and have that one or two class. I don't expect him to come in here and be Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, with those programs. I think that type of level recruiting will take a little bit of time to get there, but I do think you know, a top five, top seven class that lets me know right there that this is, you know, that this is heading in the right direction. There's a lot of competition out there. I will absolutely admit that there's a lot of competition out there as far as how recruiting is going. You can't throw away what LSU can do or what Texas A&M can do, Michigan, Oregon. There's a lot of schools out there for competition. But you being in the state of Florida, if you're doing the right things, top five, top seven class, that has to be the bare minimum. Now, I won't completely throw it away if it's not. Like I said, it has to be in the top 10. But I do think you have to sprinkle in. You're going to have to sprinkle in those top five, top seven classes here and there. You know, I don't think you have to do it every year. I don't think you have to be in that top five year in and year out. But you better once every other class at, you know, probably somewhere around that. I think that's where you need to be.
Gotcha. Appreciate it, Dave.
Thanks, man. All right, Drew. North Gator. Drew, I don't hear you.
Oh, hey. Oh, what's going on, Dave? Hold on. Let me go downstairs here. I got my family here. Give me 1 second. Thanks for giving me a chance here. Go Gators. First off, I just wanted to say, of course, I'm really excited about Billy Napier joining the being the new head coach for the Gators. I'm really excited about that. I think that we're going to find a lot more success on the recruiting trail. I don't necessarily think it's just about the high school coaches and how Billy Napier recruits, but I also think he's going to be able to assemble better staff because it just seems like there's a general consensus out there that people just like Billy Napier more than they like Dan Mullen.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that too, because somebody brought it up in my Twitter messages here, and I'll go back to Cliff Arrington brought it up, and something I brought up yesterday on the podcast as well. And I'll go back to Landry Football at Landry Football on Twitter. He's on the Bill King Show with me, not with me, but he's on the Bill King Show every week as well. And his tweet yesterday, Billy Napier put together an impressive list of assistant coaching prospects when discussing the Florida job with school officials. Very organized, professional, tireless, and relationship-based recruiter with excellent skills on developing talent. They were sold from the start. And that's the end of the tweet right there. So his staff was already, you know, discussed when that meeting him and Scott Strickland had last Tuesday, and maybe even before that. But you know, that was the first time I think they had met in person maybe, or they met in Louisiana last Tuesday. The list of assistant coaches has already been put out there as far as who he's targeting and maybe who he's even already sold to join that staff.
Yeah, and I mean, the other big selling point for Napier for me was that, you know, you just look at, and again, I don't have anything tangible in front of me. I don't have connections in the, you know, UF admin or anything like that. But you read about certain things and about, you know, players, parents, recruits, parents going on some of these trips and them comparing them to Georgia and Florida or Alabama and Florida. And it just seemed like that it wasn't just that we needed, you know, kind of a shot in the arm as far as our recruiting budget, but it also just seemed like we just totally needed to revamp everything and kind of modernize how we approach recruiting. And that was like really one of the big selling points for me with Napier is not just that he was able to identify that issue, but he knows how to fix it. And, you know, you can't say that about a lot of different coaches because some of these coaches, they're coming from schools and they don't have experience at these big time schools. So they don't know what changes need to be made. They're kind of figuring it out on the fly. But, you know, I tweeted about something yesterday or the day before that, you know, he kind of already had those changes in his back pocket. And I thought that was really kind of admirable. And it was reassuring that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, man, I think that's the best thing here. I kind of sent a tweet about that this morning. This was more than just changing coaches for Florida. This was changing direction. This was changing approach. Florida needed that from the top down, administration, you know, the school itself, the administration, the athletic director, Scott Strickland. Everybody needs to be on the same page about what changes are needed. These changes are absolutely needed for Florida to be competing for SEC championships and bringing the best players in at Florida. You do those two things, everything else will take care of itself. And that's, you know, you needed that approach. There needed to be an approach, a change of approach from everybody at the University of Florida. And I think that's what we're getting here. Of course, we need to see it. I think we are seeing it because I think, you know, some of the demands that Napier needed were – or requested were needed for him to get this job, for needing him to take this job. He needed to be sold that Florida's the right place, and I think Scott Strickland needed to be sold that he was the guy to lead Florida to go to that right place. And I think that's a signal that changes are ahead for Florida.
Absolutely, and I'm so excited. One question that I had for you was – and again, this is kind of just speculation, but I keep seeing rumblings about it. And I'm sorry if somebody asked this already. I kind of just joined in about 30 minutes ago. But I noticed that LSU has got quite a few players on their recruiting class that are from Lafayette. One of them being their quarterback, who's a five-star. And I noticed that he keeps retweeting Billy Napier tweets. Is there going to be some drama here as far as our who we take at quarterback? Could we possibly take two quarterbacks?
I don't think Florida necessarily has room for two quarterbacks on the roster. I think to me that would – I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't – I forget the kid's name, but I know he's a highly rated recruit there.
Yeah, Walker Howard, I think.
Yeah, something. I don't think so. I think you stick with Evers. And that definitely seems to be the case, as you know, they're going to see each other tomorrow or be in communication tomorrow. But like I said it probably 10, 15 minutes ago, it is interesting to, you know, keep an eye on the state of Louisiana and who maybe he can bring over as well. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not probably had a whole lot of communication with players that were going to LSU because he's not recruiting the same type of players at Louisiana. But now I think he can start that conversation. He's got some good relationships, and I just tweeted it. I saw it on the 24/7 board. I just retweeted it. There is an article where they quote a whole bunch of Louisiana high school coaches on Billy Napier, and that was basically based off of should LSU hire him or not. And there are rave reviews for Billy Napier in that there. So I just retweeted that if everybody wants to go look at that. So I think with the reputation he has, don't throw out, you know, some of those Louisiana prospects coming to Gainesville.
Okay. Yeah, the other thing I was looking at was it just seems like with him coming here, it's going to be flipping season here. I was looking at some of Oklahoma's recruits, and I saw they have a defensive lineman from Lakeland High School.
Yep.
And I was like, oh man. And there's a couple other guys they have that are pretty highly ranked that are from South Florida or other parts of Florida. So I was just I was really interested in that because you know, obviously once he gets to Florida, like you said, everybody who's kind of within close proximity is going to be the easiest to get to, and especially with all these coaching vacancies, it still looks like there's a good amount of talent left there on the table.
Yeah, you know, some guys, I think, you know, you probably got to be in contact with ETN, the running back out there. Of course, Shamar James was on campus this past week for the Florida State game with no coach. Shamar James back on campus there. So it lets you know the interest in Florida, even without a head coach, getting Shamar James on campus. That's Reagan Thomas, of course. I think he's another guy to keep an eye on. Been out there. Jaheim Singletary, Kamari Wilson, 2DB. Singletary, you know, committed to Georgia, but out of Jacksonville. I think so. Those are some of the big names that I think still probably have some interest in Florida. And now with the new head coach leading the charge, maybe if you can get these guys to delay their decisions for every signing day, get them to see if you can, you know, weigh off on a decision and take them into January, leading up to February, needs to be the plan.
Well, thanks again, Dave, for everything. You know, like I said, I've said it before that I think this is the best Twitter spaces I've seen so far. So we appreciate everything you do, Dave. I'm going to let some other people get on here, but go Gators, and I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, I think we all are, man. Thanks for hopping in there, and we'll call it right there so I can get started with my day. Been going about an hour here, so I will have the Raging Review podcast. They're going to be on Gators Breakdown this week, recording with them. Got to see what else I can get there behind the scenes today, too. And how to put that episode out. And maybe today, later today, maybe tomorrow before I put it out there. We'll see what else I can gather up this week for Gators Breakdown. So lots to be excited about. It'll be even probably crazier next week in the world of recruiting. Of course, when Napier gets on campus next Sunday, and then we'll be hosting prospects, not just coming up weekend, but next weekend. And Fast and Furious recruiting there. So we'll see who wants to come on campus, some of the prospects that want to come on campus, and then who can make a big difference with right away as being the head coach at the University of Florida. So, all right, everybody, check out Gators Breakdown. Will and I yesterday, of course, you know, broke down this Billy Napier hire right after the announcement was made. So you get Will and I's episode together. Threw it together yesterday. So it won't be a Gators Breakdown live tonight as far as Will and I are concerned. But as I said, I got some perspective from the Louisiana side coming up this week on Gators Breakdown. So everybody, go check out those episodes. Thank you. Thank you so much for all the interaction this week. Sad the season's over, but some exciting times ahead for Gator Nation. I'll see you later on Twitter this week. Gators Breakdown this week. I'll talk to you guys later.